All right, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. As much as I would love to deal with every verse and every line, we're not going to tonight. There's a message in every phrase of every line, every verse. But one verse, this first verse, came to mind. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them, he's writing to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, Peter said, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Like precious faith. That is what struck me. I hope we will all see not only what faith is, but how precious it is, and how blessed we are if we have it. Precious faith. The word precious means valuable. It means something that is rare and unique. It's not common, that is, in the sense of ordinary, but very rare, very unique, and precious is something that is dear to you, something you treasure. Now, the Lord says of several things in the Scripture, He calls several things precious. In the Old Testament, He talks about gold and silver and precious stone, and He talks about a chief cornerstone who is precious. He talks about wisdom in Proverbs. It is more precious than rubies. He talks about precious seed. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. He talks about, and here in 2 Peter, precious promises, precious blood, many things precious. And many of you know that the death of His saints is precious to Him. But the things I just mentioned to you all speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. The precious stone is Christ. The precious wisdom, valuable, unique, rare, is Christ Himself. Precious seed, Christ is that seed. All the promises of God, precious promises, where are they? In Him, their yea and amen. Precious blood. There's one verse, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, and there's one verse here, or chapter 2, I'm sorry, 1 Peter 2. There's one verse here that sums all of this up. In 1 Peter 2, verse 7, it says, "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious." All right? So He's writing unto them that have obtained this like precious faith. This faith is belief. Faith is trust. Faith is confidence in something or someone. People have faith in things. Faith in people. But we're talking about saving faith. True saving faith. And this faith is in a person. It's not in things. Faith is not even in doctrine. This faith is in a person. Jeanette played a moment ago that scriptural hymn, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." Paul knew what he believed, but that's not what he said. He said, "I know whom I have believed." See, faith is not in doctrine. Although, you know, there are doctrine of Scripture, the confessions of faith, but they speak of and declare who God is, who Christ is. So faith is not in doctrine, but faith is in a person. Your doctrine is decided by who you believe. Your doctrine is decided by who you believe. What you believe is determined by who you believe. You hear people all the time talk about someone their faith, don't they? And that's what they're talking about. Their faith, that is, they are strong in the faith, giving them credit for it, giving them glory for it, if you will. They say about someone who went through something, who's a person of faith, they say their faith got them through it. With no mention of God, no mention of Christ, just their faith. They're strong in the faith. That's not the faith. That's not true faith. That's not saving faith. They should say, here's what is said of those who come through true trials. Here's what is said of them. Their Lord brought them through it. Their God got them through it. See, glory goes to whom it belongs. All right? A few questions. What is faith? Talks about like precious faith. What is faith? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Is there only one? What's it worth? And how do you know you have it? Okay? How do you know you have it? Do I have it? Do you have it? All right, what is faith? Now, when I say it, what I really mean is Him. Belief in Him. Trust in Him. What is faith? Saving faith is belief and trust and confidence in a person. It's to believe in God. Now, everyone says they do. But what they say about Him reveals that they don't believe in the God of the Bible. In Psalm 115, another place, David summed it up. He said, when they asked him, where is your God? He said, our God, the true God, the God of the Bible, the only God who is God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who said, I am that I am, the only God, the true God. He said, our God is in the heavens. And He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Now there's God who is God. He does as He pleases, with whom He pleases, because He pleases. And is not subject to anybody or anything. Our God. That's the God of the Scripture. And David described the God that most people have as an idol, and he said, their God has no hands. You've read this in Psalm 115. That their God has feet, but He can't walk. He has hands, but He can't do anything. He has a mouth, but He can't speak. And those who believe this God are just like Him, dead. Now, He is not a God at all if you must let Him be God. And you hear people say this all the time, and they reveal that they don't know the true God. They do not have this saving faith. It's first believe in God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. What? God. Creator. Now, if you create something, you own it. And you can do with it what you will. And that's the God of the Bible. If you create something, you are the judge of it. And nobody, that's the thing. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? You can't do this. He sure can. And that's what he does. Go to the potter's house, he said, and you'll learn something of who God is. He says, I'm the potter, you're the clay. Now, he is not God if you must let him be God. He is not a God. He's not true God if he wants to be God and can't be God unless men let him be God, unless men vote on him. God's not running for election to be God. He does the electing. If anything or anyone can change God, he's not God. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi 3:6. I change not. Now, this faith, true faith, is belief in God. True faith is to believe God. To believe God. There's a difference. David said, I believe all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. As Paul said it, let God be true. Now he's not saying that we must let it be true. But what he's saying, let it be known that God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. His word is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Believe God. To believe God, His word. Believe all He says about Himself. God has described Himself. God has revealed Himself in the Scripture. But only to His people. And this is eternal life, to know Him. He must reveal Himself to you through the Scripture. His word tells us about Himself. It's to believe all that He says about Himself. It's to believe all that He says about man. And it's nothing good. There's nothing good that He says about the natural man. It's to believe all that He says about salvation. And what does it say about salvation in a word? Anybody say one word that tells what salvation is? That's what this Bible's all about? Go ahead. Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all salvation. He's all. It's all in Him. Not in you. It's in Him. Not even in your faith. It's in Him. It's certainly not in your work. It's in His work. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But this faith is to believe God's Son. Paul said, we preached constantly repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is in God's Son. True faith. That He is God. That He is Lord. That He is prophet. We don't need prophets anymore. There are people that claim to be these days, don't they? There's a sign down here on one of these places, Apostolic Corner. There are no more apostles. There are no more prophets. We don't need them. Do we? Like the woman at the well says, when the Christ has come, He'll tell us all things. He did and He did. We don't need more prophets. Christ, the testimony of Christ, is the spirit of all prophets. He is that prophet. Moses said, God will raise up a prophet like unto me, with a capital P, that prophet. He is the priest. We don't need a priest. There are millions of people all over the world that go and pray to a priest. We don't need a man priest. We have a high priest seated at the right hand of God who we confess our sins to and who alone can forgive us. He is our priest. He is our king. People say we have no king but Caesar. Well, we have no king but Christ. Prophet, priest, and king. We look to Him. We believe God's Son. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Object. He is our mediator, our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption, our salvation. Faith is to believe God's Son. Do you have it? Not to believe in yourself. It's to believe in Christ. Faith is to believe and trust Him. All right? Where does this faith come from? Where do you get it? Huh? Look at our text again in verse 1. It says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Obtained. It does not say attain. It says obtain. Obtain. Now, attain, not something you work for, not something you earn, it's something you receive. You receive. Faith is not of yourselves, Ephesians 2 says, verse 8, it is the what? The gift of God. Ephesians 1:19. You who believe according to the working of His mighty power. You believe because God gave you this faith, because God worked in you to believe. It's not of Him that willeth to runneth, but of God that showeth mercy, and it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Faith is a gift of God. It's a gift bestowed. It's not a gift that's offered. Faith is not offered. You don't offer life to dead people. You give it. You don't offer life to an unborn child. And our Lord said that to Nicodemus, who was a teacher, who was a Bible teacher and teaching everyone. He didn't understand that that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit, and you must be born of God. And you didn't have anything to do with your first birth, flesh. Your mother and your father did that. And you don't have anything to do with the spiritual birth. It's of the Lord. And he said, are you a master in Israel, Nicodemus? You don't know these things? There are lots of so-called masters of divinity that don't know that. Our little children know that, at least in their head. Obtained. Like precious faith, obtained. You don't come to the faith. Faith comes to you. Like grace. You don't come to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. The grace of God comes to you and gives you a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace comes to you. Grace is a person. I've given to them, Christ said, eternal life. Not I will give them the keys of knowledge that they might come to an understanding of. No, I give. Like when Christ came to Lazarus' tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. He said that to a particular man. If he hadn't called his name, everybody in the tombs would have came out. And Christ comes to his particular people, his elect, through the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the gospel, but it's the voice of Christ nonetheless, and says, come forth. Believe. He gives us life. He gives us faith. All right, Peter said this. He said, you have obtained, those who have obtained, like precious faith with us. Here's an illustration. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they're out fishing. All right, they're out fishing. Fishing is their life. They're just old, rough, longshoremen. They don't have any thoughts toward God. They're not seeking the Lord. They're out fishing. They don't care anything about this Judaism. They don't care anything about this young rabbi they've heard about from Nazareth. They don't care anything about him. They're out fishing. Fishing is their life. It's what they live for. That's what they're going to die doing. But one day, somebody came walking and stopped at their boat. There must have been 100 boats out in that fishing cove. And Christ came to them and said, follow me. And they dropped everything. They dropped everything to follow him. They didn't decide for Jesus. He decided for them. This is not a point of doctrine here. This is what salvation is. Christ came to them. Christ chose them. Christ called them. Christ gave them life. You don't accept life. You receive it. He gave them faith in himself. All right? Is there just one faith? Is there just one? Look at it again. In verse 1. To them that have obtained like precious faith. That is the same faith. Like. Faith alike. You know, Jude 3 says this, the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Yeah, delivered to the saints. Like faith. Religion says this, there are many faiths, don't they? They say that. People of different faiths. Well, there are lots of faith. There's only one true thing. Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Ephesians 4 says this. There's one body, that is one church. The church didn't used to be denominated by Baptist, by Methodist, by Presbyterian, all of that. This started, I don't know when it started, several hundred years ago. But the church didn't have denominations like that, that divided them up. It was simply called the church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica, the church at Philippi, right? It's still the church. It's still the church. One body. One Spirit who leads and guides all His people into the truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He doesn't make you talk like a blooming idiot, like a babbling fool. He makes you talk of Jesus Christ. One Spirit. One hope of your calling. All of God's people know who called who. And they know why they called him. If they called on him, they all know it's because he called them, or they wouldn't have called on him. They all know that. One hope of their calling. One Lord. And they all know they didn't make him Lord. God did. Psalm 2. One Lord, one faith. One faith. One way. One truth. One life. What is that? Somebody tell me. In one word, tell me. That's right. That's answered every question concerning the truth. One faith, one God, one Father of them all. And our Lord said this in John 6:45, they shall all be taught of God, and every one that hath heard and learned of the Father does what? Cometh unto me, Christ said. Comes to him. He's their all their hope, their salvation. So all they all know, they all believe the same God, because they have the same, he's their Father. They are born of God. There were four of us in my family. Many of you had siblings, several of them. There are four of us. We had one father. We all knew him as the same father. We didn't have different conceptions of the same father. And if someone would go and describe my father to me and would start saying something like, well, I know your father. Yeah, he's my father. Oh, he is he? Well, describe him. And they would say, well, he's 6'3 and has red hair and brown eyes. And I'd say, hold on. That's not my father. That's not your father. Maybe your father. That's not my father. We all know the same father. The same what? And so it is with God's people. There's one Father, one faith, one Lord, one faith. And it's called the common faith. Not because it's ordinary, but it's common among all God's people. We all believe the same thing. It's the faith delivered to the saints. It's the faith of the saints. Faith of God's elect. That's what the Scriptures call it. The faith of God's elect. Some people will say, well, no, it's your interpretation. That's your interpretation. That's your interpretation. No, just as no Scripture is of any private interpretation, neither is the faith. Because the faith comes from the Scripture. So it's not interpretation. It's revelation. It's not interpretation. That's just it. Well, there's not more than one. There's only one. Like. All right, what is it worth? All right, look at this very closely. It's called precious faith. To you which believe he is precious. Precious faith. To you who believe he is precious. This will reveal whether or not you have this faith or not. If it's precious to you. If he's precious to you. All right, listen carefully. When something or someone is precious to you, that means they're dear to you. They're loved by you. There's faith now, by the faith, hope. Our hope is in Christ. And love. All God's people receive a love for the truth. And it's not just a doctrine, it's a person. A love for Him. The love of God shed abroad in the heart is not principally love for, not first love for others, but love for Him. The love of God is for who? Who does God love supremely? Who is God's first love? Before there was anybody or anything, who did God love? His Son. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this love of God shed abroad in the heart, the first thing God gives you is a love for His Son. The truth as it is in His Son. And He becomes precious to you. He becomes precious to you. This thing, a thing that is precious to you, is loved by you and treasured by you, like a gift. If somebody gives you a gift and it's very precious to you, it's a treasure to you, and you won't give it up for anything or anyone. something that belongs to you. And when the Lord comes to His people, He said, I am thy God, and you're my people. Christ said, I am thy righteous. I am your shepherd. I am your Savior. I am your life. I am that I am. I am. You say, I am the Lord's and He is mine. Something given to you. Back there in 1 Thessalonians, go back there, we read chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians 3. Something that belongs to you, something precious to you, something or someone that you don't want to lose and do without, that you wouldn't take anything or anyone for. Some of you, most of you, have children and grandchildren, and they're very precious to you, aren't you? And your husband or wife, your whoever is precious to you, and you don't really want to live without them. They're dear to you. Can you imagine life without those little ones? Can you imagine? I have two grandchildren now, and they're very precious to me. And I have their pictures everywhere, and I had their picture on my computer, and sometimes I have to take it off because I hate looking at it. A picture doesn't do me. I get to missing them so bad, and I want to just... Precious. Can you imagine life without Him? For you who believe, He is precious. You wouldn't have life without Him. And this love for Christ, a need for Christ, not talking about the doctor, not talking about the church, talking about Him, His gospel concerning Him, His hope of life, is something that God gives, puts in you. This love for His Son, and to make Him precious to you and not want to do without. 1 Thessalonians 3, did you notice how many times He talked about your faith? I tried to emphasize that. In verse 2, we came in the last line to establish, comfort you concerning your faith. Verse 5, I'm going to no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith. Verse 6, Timothy gave us good tidings of your faith and love. Verse 7, don't be moved that you might be comforted in, over your affliction and distress. We are comforted by your faith. Verse 10, we want to perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And we sang those songs, My Faith. You see, God gives each of His people this saving faith, this knowledge of and this love for His Son. And it's yours, like a gift that He gives to you. Everybody doesn't have it. Everybody doesn't receive the love of the truth. But God gives His people a love for the truth. Most people turn away their ears from the truth unto fable. But God's people turn away their ears from fable to the truth. Most people want to hear about other things. And I'm getting ahead of myself again here. Your faith. Listen to Colossians 1. He said this. He said, thank God. Let me read it. Don't just try to quote it. It says in Colossians 1, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See who He's thanking? Always for you. Religion. A false prophet will stand up and thank people for coming to worship God. Now, that man's a false prophet. We don't thank sinners for doing something for God. We're here to thank God for doing something for sinners. We don't thank people for coming to do what they ought to do. We thank God for bringing them. You see who's getting the glory? That's what it's all about. You want to examine every doctrine, every truth by this question. Who's getting the glory? We see through it all that way. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Because He said in 2 Thessalonians 2, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of spirit. Two people come in. They hear the same gospel. They hear the same truth.
All right? One believes, one doesn't. Why does this one believe and this one doesn't? This one's smarter? Huh? This one more tender? No, they're both dead. But God, the Holy Spirit, says, believe, and He passes this one by. Sanctification of spirit, separated by the truth, to believe, not to believe. He doesn't have to do anything to this person to get them to not believe. They already don't believe. But He has to do something to this one person to make them believe. Sanctification of spirit, set apart like a roper, like a cutting horse man, you know, going after one calf, got a brand on it. What's it got on it? Blood! And he goes after it. Why are you hollering, preacher? I don't know. I just am. Isaiah did. He said, lift up your voice. Spurgeon used to say, they argued with Spurgeon one time, you believe only the elect will be saved, don't you? He said, yes, that's what Scripture says. Not what I believe, what Scripture says. Well, they said, then why don't you just preach to the elect? He said, I would if I had an E on them. I would. It wouldn't bother preaching to anybody else. But we preach to everybody knowing that the elect will come. Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice. They do have an E on them. We can't see it. God does. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. He knoweth them that are His. They all have blood on it. How did God know who to save in Egypt? They were a bunch of houses that all looked alike. How did He know who to save? They had blood on their door. Did they put it there? No. The elders did it. The little children couldn't put blood on it. The old women and men couldn't put blood on it. Who gets the glory? Who is salvation from? The Lord belongs to Him. It's His to give to whom He will. And that's what He does. To the praise of the glory of His grace. We're bound to sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth whereunto He called you by our gospel. That's the rest of that verse. So we thank God. Any other gospel, anything less than what I've been preaching, anything more is not the gospel. Now that's what Paul said. If any man preach any other gospel, Galatians 1, let him go to hell. Is that too narrow? Who said narrow? John Calvin didn't say it. Jesus Christ did. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are what? Chosen. To God be the glory. If we're in that way, He put us in. If we know the way, He showed it to us. If we believe the truth, He showed it to us. If we love the truth, He gave it to us. To God be the glory. Now, it's my faith. Not because it originated with me, not because it came from me, because He gave it to me. It's my faith. And you can't have it. You need your own. We're all going to die in the faith. If we have it, die in the faith. It's your faith. You got to believe. I can't believe for you. You got to believe. It's my faith. And it's a gift to me. And it's precious. He's present. You can't have it. I may not have much faith, but I believe I have this faith. And you can have all the religion in the world. You can have all the gospels in the world. You can have all the messiahs in the world. You can have all the Bibles, so-called, the Bhagavad Gita, the Koran, all of these. You can have them all. You can't have this one. This was mine. How about you? Is that what you say? It's my faith. My faith looks up. My faith has found a resting place. Not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living One. I trust the person. His wounds for me to plead. He's my righteousness. I don't have any. Mine's filthy rags. He is my hope of heaven. Not what I do, what He did. Not my faith either. My faith is not my hope of heaven. It's His faith. It's His faith. Is that your faith? Is that your faith? That's the only faith there is. My faith. You can't have it.
How do you know? How do you know you have it? Well, in 1 Peter, very quickly, 1 Peter 1. Boy, oh boy. Who is sufficient for these times? 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, talk about the trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. If you have this saving faith, that's what he said to the Thessalonians. See, it's not only given unto you to believe, but to suffer. And the trial of your faith, which is, verse 7, more precious than of gold. See that? More valuable. Because you cannot purchase your redemption by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb. This trial of your faith, though, that's very precious, it's tried with fire. Fiery trials. Painful trials. Why? Faith must be tried. Why? Number one, to prove Him to you. To prove Him to you. When through fiery trials, He said, I'll be with you. The flame shall not hurt thee. Alright? Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have this faith? Alright? They threw them in that fiery furnace. How did they make it? By their faith? Hold on now. Hold on now. Why did they make it in that fiery furnace? Well, if you'll look in that fiery furnace, you'll see a fourth person. That's how. How'd they make it? I bet you He covered them. And you and I, if you have this faith, you're covered by Him. Fiery trial. Prove Him. Prove His promises. He's true. Trust me, He says. And you go through these trials, fiery trials, painful trials, heaviness through manifold temptations and trial. And the Lord says, trust me, I'm bringing you through this for a purpose. Trust me. And He brings you through it. He doesn't overcome you. And you say, He's true, isn't He? He's right, isn't He? He's faithful, isn't He? To prove Him. And the greatest promise, people, that He gives us is that you trust me and you're and you will be saved. You are saved. You trust me. In spite of your sin. The chief of sin. You just all your trust on Him is laid. You'll not be cast out. That's the greatest promise of all. To prove His word to us, it's to drive us to Him. These trials drive us to Him. If we didn't have any, we wouldn't even think about it. Psalm 106, 107. You wouldn't even think about God, would we, if we had didn't have these trials? And they drive us to Him. They wean us from everything else that we think is precious. Everything and everyone. Our children were taken from us. That wasn't my will. I didn't want that to happen. You'd ask me anything but that right now. But God did it. His grace is sufficient. Didn't take them far. Besides, all of us are going to lose all that we have. What does that do? It drives us to Him. To wean us from everything and everyone we think we have to have. I can't live without this or this person or whatever. Yes, you can. But you can't live without Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Because whatever you lose is not living, is it? Whatever dies is not life, your life. Wean us from these things to see that He is precious. So trials. And look at what it says there, that these trials will appear unto faith, unto praise, honor, and glory. You see that 1 Peter 1, 7 found? These trials will drive us to Christ, to look to Him, believe Him, trust Him, His Word.
and be found after it's over unto praise, honor, and glory. Whose? God's. His praise. Not the believer. No.
God's praise. All right, I close with it. How do you know you have this precious, this like the faith of the saints, this precious faith? Well, is he precious to you? Is this gospel precious to you? Let me ask you a few questions, and I quit. Do you love to hear of Christ? Do you love to hear him preach? God does. I listened to a message by Brother Donnie Bell today, and it's on how the angels love to hear a sinner preaching Christ. Oh, boy. That's what it says, that even the angels learn through the church. They're not sinners. Do you love to hear of him? Do you love to hear him preach? Do you love to read about him? Would you rather hear somebody else? Would you rather come in here and let's talk about something else? Play games? Huh? And I believe you might have this precious faith. Do you love to hear him glorified and honored? Can I preach God too sovereign? Can a man preach God too high, too sovereign for you? Man too low? Can a man preach salvation too much in God's hand for you? If you're a helpless, hopeless sinner, weak, poor, and needy, that's where you want salvation. It's totally in his hand, don't you? Does it offend you to be called nothing? In order for him to be everything. Does it offend you to renounce everything you've ever done? For a man to stand up and say, everything you've ever done accounts for nothing. Doesn't merit you one bit of God's faith. Nothing. Does that offend you? But only what Jesus Christ has done for you. What do you think about that? All of God's elect love that. Doesn't offend them. Doesn't offend them at all. Listen to this. The Lord and Brother John Chapman preached on this. The Lord told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. You're going to be a coward. You're going to be a coward. You're going to fail. You're going to revert right back to that old cussing longshoreman that you used to be. Because I'm going to take my hand off of you. Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me thrice. Before the cock crows once, you deny me. Ah, Peter said, not me. Yes, you will too. Why? You're going to have to be brought down. You're going to have to be converted. All right? But the Lord said this. He said, Peter, you're going to fail miserably. Because you're a failure. Everything about you is a failure. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. Did it? Did his faith fail? What is his faith? He denied the Lord. He denied that he even knew him. But the Lord couldn't deny him. His faith was in not his faith, but his faithfulness. The Lord could deny him. And when the Lord told his disciples, through the angel, go tell my disciples and Simon, Peter. And he came back and he was crawling back, ashamed, less than the least, not fit to be called a disciple, an apostle, came crawling back. And the first thing the Lord said was, do you love me? What did he say? Yes, yes. Why? Because God gave him that love. Christ gave him that love. The Lord's not going to let him go away. Because the Lord's faithful. Peter's hope was in Christ. He's got a good hope. Because Christ cannot fail. Teresa, he shall not fail.
He came to save His people, and that's exactly what He did and will do. And if your faith is in Him, He gave it to you, and you've got this light, precious faith. Okay. Stand with me. My Lord, forgive this bumbling, stammering tongue man, sinful creature. Overlook, overrule the flesh and take Your word and use it. The word is Your power. We have this blessed treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels, but the excellency of the power is of Thee. And the gospel is indeed the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Lord, take it. We'll operate powerfully. May the gospel come to us like the Thessalonians, not in word only, but in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance. And receive the word of affliction and become followers, and the word is spread abroad. Lord, thank You for this precious faith. Thank You for Your precious Son. Make Him precious to someone else, we pray, for Your glory and honor. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.